This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again on old Dan. Come on, Dan, let's go. Let's get a getting. And we bring you these studies on the 11th chapter of Hebrews now. And call over the back fence and tell the folks, the Old Trailblazer's on. Would you do that? But we're going to pick up our study where we were there in the last time. We were looking at faith. Listen, I want to give you a personal testimony just for a moment. There's no greater life than walking by faith in Christ. The Old Trailblazer is just a poor old depraved human being, just like you are, just like every one of us are. I don't have any great faith. I don't have any extraordinary faith. I don't have faith that all of you hear these people talking about turning your faith loose and all that stuff. I don't have that. No, I just go day by day, day by day. But you don't come overnight to be able to trust the Lord in the greatest sense. No. Even a believer, God's child, you stagger at unbelief. You'll stagger. Listen, this faith of Sarah that we just spoke of is in vital contrast to the faith of the vast majority of professed so-called Christians today. Many of our folks don't live by faith. They don't live by faith at all. They live by worry and anxiety and twisting around and all of those things. Human reason. And then live by what you can see or what you can touch or what you can feel. Your life is not governed. The average professed Christian today, their life is not governed by the Word of God. No, sir, they sure not. Now, it is a faith that is as different from the faith of dreamers as darkness is from light. Now, there are dreamers as they can dream mighty things. They want to call that faith. That's not faith, my friend. That's just a fantasy world, a fantasy flight of your imagination, and most of those fall to the ground pretty soon. I tell my folks, I have folks who are not saved, and I tell them to get rid of all that vain imagination. They imagine this and that and the other. They imagine they have to mourn for a long time over their sin. They mourn, and they imagine that they have to go back and make amends for things they said 40 years ago. They have to go back and, no, my friend, the Lord doesn't require you to do that unless you so adamant that you won't do what he tells you. He tells you to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Come and trust the Lord. And if you'll do that, he'll save you. Now, listen, it was a faith expressed in deeds. Look at Sarah there. It was a faith put to a test. It was a faith that survived every trial to which it was exposed. Have you ever been put to trial? Have you ever, my friend, backed up in the corner where you couldn't see your way out clear and the Lord came to your rescue and you said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, but listen, it was a faith that's common to all born-again believers. You live by the promises of God's word based on what? Based on what? Based on the faithfulness of God. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Have you ever believed God? Have you ever believed his word? Can you take his Bible, your Bible, and open it to any passage in God's word where the Lord is speaking there, maybe speaking primarily to you? And you said, that's right, Lord. You're right. You ever read there where in Romans 3, where he says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die? You say, that's right, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe that. Have you ever read where it says, there's none righteous, no, not one? Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's me. That's the old trailblazer. That's the old sinner. None righteous. You have any righteousness of your own, folks? No, no, no. There's none righteous, no, not one. Why can't you believe that, my friend? My sinner friend, why can't you believe that there are none righteous, no, not one? If you would, you'd quit trying to establish your own righteousness, going about trying to find something that you could hold up to the Lord, being a good this and a good that and being a good something else. No, that's not the faith that we're talking about, my friend. No, I don't know whether you know it or not. I guess you're out of the world. Listen, that you're out in the world there, but the church practically as a whole today has cast the Bible overboard. Now, you say, why so? Because our young people, are not attending church when they're young. They're not brought up in faithful and true Sunday school classes. They're not taught the scriptures. They're not taught the Ten Commandments. They're not taught the books of the Bible. No. So when they come up a little older, maybe get married and have a home, they don't have any foundation to rest on. No. Listen, my friend, the church, what we call the church as a whole, has practically thrown the Bible overboard. Now, another way that they do that is by all these damnable translations that we have on the market today. All the NIVs and all those others, and I could name you half a dozen of them that we don't recommend and we don't sell. We only sell the King James Version here in the bookstore. But every Tom, Dick, and Harry has translated the Bible. Someone told me last week that they even have a homosexual Bible coming out now. I don't doubt it. I told the individual, I said, well, that doesn't surprise me about it. I was in the bookstore there in New Orleans several years ago. We were cleaning up and moving out some stuff out, and I come across a Bible, African-American Women Bible. Now, that may be all right, but what good is that, my friend? What good is that? You believe that in such a thing as that? But listen, if it's not the authorized King James Version, we leave it alone. Well, we have to defend the King James Version oftentimes because people won't have it. But listen, the average preacher today doesn't have anything to preach. If you would pick up your daily paper, you would go and watch the bulletin boards in the average church, it's amazing at the topics they're using. They haven't got anything to preach. They haven't got any foundation to rest upon. And they don't talk about, listen, they don't talk about being an awakened sinner. They don't talk about coming to know the Lord. They don't talk about being washed in the blood. They don't talk about being pardoned. And they don't talk about being forgiven. I know in our service here a night or two ago, I told the folks that I was preparing a message on what happens when the Lord saves a sinner. Do you know what happens when the Lord saves a sinner? Can I ask you that, my friend? Could you sit down and write me a short paragraph or two and tell me what happens when the Lord saves a sinner? Let me just give you a hint. First of all, you get a new heart. Your old stony heart, your old depraved heart, you get a new heart. The Lord said, I'll give you a new heart. Then you get a new spirit. He said, I put my spirit within you. You don't have the Lord's spirit within you when you're lost and out there in sin and debauchery and all that. You don't have the spirit. No. And then you'll come to the realization that your sins are forgiven. Your sins will be forgiven. I'm just telling you a couple of things because I'm going to bring a message on that in a few days. And you'll have a new spirit. You'll have a new attitude towards folks. And you'll take the blame for your sins. You'll take the blame for what you're not to blame for. And my friend, to know the Lord is the greatest thing that ever happened. It's not a shaking a preacher's hand and turning over a new leaf for a few weeks and then heading back to the honky tonks or heading back to the bar room, heading back to the brothel. That's not salvation. Well, I made a decision when I was 11 years old and was baptized. Well, you don't have nothing. You might as well be honest about it, my friend. You know, the old trailblazer has no better sense than to just be honest with you. If you can't go back to the time and the place when you took your place as a lost sinner before God, seeking mercy, crying for mercy, begging for mercy, then you're not saved. I just tell you that without fear or contradiction. You're not saved. And if you get mad with me, that just proves you're not saved. You cuss the old tribulator, that proves you're not saved. Because the Bible says, esteem the other fella greater than thyself. And if you don't esteem me and other folks greater than yourself, well, that old fool, he just meddling in my business. Did you know that it's my business to meddle in your business? Many times I put my finger on a rotten spot in the life of some individual, and they tell me about it months and years later. Well, Pastor, you talked about it. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I had a man come down to the front one morning after service, and he said, Pastor, can a man get saved shacking up? I said, no, no, no. Go and come again. The Lord doesn't compromise his word with you. No, he said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And after that, the judgment. Oh, my friend, it seemed like the thrust of the old trailblazer's ministry here in my pulpit is to warn sinners. Is anybody warning you in your church up there in Tennessee and Arkansas and Oklahoma and those places up there in the Appalachian, Tennessee and West Virginia and Virginia and Maryland and North and South Carolina where these broadcasts are going? Is anybody warning you in your church to flee from the wrath to come? I'd like to hear them if they do. I would. My friend, I don't hear it. I just don't hear it. All I hear is a soft soap, a smooth silk handkerchief preaching. That's what I hear. And the preacher's afraid to call sin sin because he'll lose his salary, he'll lose his audience, he'll lose his good givers, he said. Well, my friend, I'd rather set my suitcase down by my pulpit on Sunday morning and preach hell off the cross, tell them to pour it back in a jug, put the lid on the jug, and go to hell for their trouble. My friend, you can't, if you're afraid to preach the gospel, you need to get out of that pulpit. If you're afraid to offend that old bell cow over there somewhere, or that old deacon over there that's nodding his head and winking his eye when you get a little too close to the truth, you say, Pastor, does that happen? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. It does. Old bell cow sit over there in the first or second row, and pastor gives her a look every now and then, and she'll give him okay to go ahead or slow it down or get off of that subject. I know those things, my friend. I know it to be true. That's what you call petticoat preaching. Oh, my friend, you have a petticoat preaching? I tell you, I think everybody that's ever heard me knows that we don't approve of women preaching. The Bible is deadly against it, and I don't know. I just don't know how far the Lord's going to let it go. I wouldn't be surprised if the Lord didn't strike some woman down dead in their tracks behind that pulpit for abusing the authority, abusing the privilege. My friend, the Bible is too clear. But listen, that's not our subject today. But I tell you, preacher, pastor, if you don't have enough backbone to tell it like it is, you get out of the pulpit and go to digging taters for a living. I tell you, you call the old trailblazer. I'll tell you how it stands. I'll tell you what the Bible says about being true to the souls of men. The Lord gave me the commission to preach the gospel, not to pet sinners, not to pamper them, no, with all long suffering, to rebuke. That's what part of our message is, rebuke. You living in sin, you're going to hell. That's rebuking, my friend. But listen, I wish I could sit down by your side and tell you how the Lord saves a sinner. Maybe I'll do that one day in another message. Just tell you how the Lord saved old Trailblazer. It's not a glorious thing. It's a glorious thing to me, but it's just a simple thing, trusting the Lord. But this is the old Trailblazer, and I wish you'd sit down and write me and let me hear from you. Call me. Pastor@RadioMissions is my email address. I'm praying for you. I'm not trying to be hard, my friend, but who's going to be true to you if I don't? If the old Trailblazer shuts up, who's going to be true to you? Your pastor going to be true to you, my friend? Is he? You sending your money down there and they taking it and using it for all sorts of stuff like that man told me? Start sending it here. Send it to the old Trailblazer. We'll get out the gospel with it. We go on a new radio station. And if two or three of you fellas want to supply one of these radio stations, write me and I'll give you the call letters of the station. And we'll do that. But remember, my mailing address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.